Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Raia Drogasil conference call to discuss its 2014 results. The audio for this conference is being broadcast simultaneously through the internet to the website www.raiadrogasil.com.br/ir. In that address, you can also find the slideshow presentation available for download. We inform that all participants will be able to listen to the conference during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are over, there will be a question and answer period. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this conference, please press star zero for an operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Raia Drogasil management and on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Raia Drogasil and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Today with us are Mr. Marcílio Pousada, CEO, Mr. Eugênio De Zagottis, Investor Relations and Corporate Planning Vice President, and Gabriel Rosenberg, IR and Corporate Planning Director. Now I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Marcílio Pousada. Sir, you may begin your conference.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Raia Drogasil results presentation for the first quarter of 2014. As always, Eugênio present the highlights of the quarter, and just before the Q&A, I'd like to stress a few points about the results and about our expansion plan. Eugênio, please.
Hello, everybody. First of all, thank you all for attending our conference call. We are very happy to begin the year with solid results, moving back along the right direction of our historical margin expansion track record. This was a good quarter with solid results. Before talking more about the quarter, just to clarify that the first quarter every year cannot be comparable in absolute terms with any other quarter because we have vacation month in January, because February is a short month with Carnival. It's always a lower scenario of lower sales and higher expenses as a result. On a comparable basis with all the fourth quarter, it's very clear, I think, the strength of the numbers we're presenting. We ended the year with 986 stores in operation. We opened 18 stores and closed one store in the quarter. Our revenues reached 1.7 billion, 19.5% of growth, and 12.7% of same-store sales growth. We reached a gross margin of 26.9%, a 0.3 percentage point margin increase, and our adjusted EBITDA reached 87.3 million reais, an increase of nearly 32% over the first quarter of last year, and that represented an EBITDA margin of 5.1% in the quarter. Our adjusted net income reached 40.7 million reais. We have increased it by 54% over the same period last year, and we reached a net margin of 2.4% in the quarter. Finally, like every other first quarter, we had negative free cash flow and total cash flow. This is really the seasonal profile of the quarter, so that's normal, and we'll give more details on that in a minute. On page four, to give a highlight about our store development program, we opened 18 stores in the quarter. We closed one store, and we opened two stores that were previously suspended for rebranding. These stores were reopened as Farmaview. We reiterate the guidance of 130 stores for this year. We're fully on track to do it. We have already 96 signed contracts as of today, and we have until late August to get the remaining contract signed. And we have a lot of negotiations in course, and that should not be an issue. What has to be considered this year is that, first of all, this is a lower opening quarter when compared to last year, because last year we had just bought stores in Goiânia, and we opened 24 of those stores at once in the first quarter. So obviously, the first quarter, when we don't have an acquisition to do, it's a lower quarter than usual. So this is one thing. The second thing is that the fact that we have the World Cup starting in June will increase the concentration of the stores to be opened in the second semester of this year. Not only is it impractical to open stores during World Cup because of travel costs and difficulties, but on top of that, the fact that the government is getting ready for the World Cup means that licensing stores as of now is slightly tougher, because we're competing with venues related to the World Cup, with hotels, and the whole priority of the government right now is to get everything in place for the World Cup. So we are on track in terms of contracts. The openings will be concentrated on the second semester, but ultimately we will open 130 stores when the year finishes. Talking about our store portfolio, 33.3% of stores are still stores undergoing maturation. On page 5, we'd like to give a highlight of our geographic presence, and especially I'd like to mention the entry into 3 new states in the Northeast. So we have, as of now, a very successful operation in Bahia with 16 stores, profitable operation, an operation that is progressing very well, that projects high levels of revenues per store for when the store completes the maturation, with good levels of gross margin almost from day one. So inspired by the success in Bahia, we are accelerating our pace into the rest of the Northeast. So we will open next Tuesday our first store in Recife, in the state of Pernambuco. This is the top state marked in the chart. And we have also contracts signed for further stores in Pernambuco, as well as two stores in the state of Alagoas and Sergipe, so I'm going down the map, that will be open over the next few months. In total, we have already 18 contracts signed for the Northeast, including Bahia, that should yield over the year something like 25 openings in the Northeast. Some more stores in Bahia, and then stores in the new markets. We believe that the Northeast is a great market. It's the fastest growing market in Brazil. Recife is a major city, very, very attractive place. I think the model, the format that we have bodes very well in those markets, especially for affluent A and B consumers. So when we go to those regions initially, what we do is exactly the same stuff we do in São Paulo or in the other states where we compete. We try to service well the A and B population in those areas, and we did that in Bahia. It will be no different now in the remaining states of the Northeast. Talking about market share, first of all, we publish what we call comparable market share, because IMS is expanding, continuing their base, their panel. So IMS reports an adjusted figure without any new informants added to the panel over the last 12 months. So we have a national share growth of 0.6 percentage points, reaching 9.4 comparable market share, and we grew market share in every state where we compete. The main highlight was in the Midwest region, fueled by the acquisition we did in Goiânia and also by strong performances in other markets. The total market share, including the new entrants that didn't exist in the base in the first quarter of last year, is 9.1%. On page 6, I'd like to provide more details in terms of our revenue growth. Our total revenues increased by 19.5% in the quarter. If we take out the closed stores from last year's comp base, the surviving stores plus the new stores open, we're growing 21.7%. So it's a very expressive figure. Mature stores grew by 12.7%. same store sales grew by 12.7%, and mature stores grew by 7.6%. Inflation was 6.2, so we are reporting real mature store growth of 1.4%. A couple of things have to be mentioned here. The first thing is that we have a very hot and dry summer months in the quarter, especially January, but also February to a less extent. And this helped a lot, but it helped because we were ready to leverage the seasonality with the correct programs being executed in stores with the right pricing and assortment. So we took full advantage of the favorable seasonal quarter. The second thing is that we're comparing with a very depressed comp base of last year. We had grown by only 2.2% in the first quarter of 13. So this is the easiest comp of the year. We had, obviously, to have a strong showing here. As we reach the second quarter, we have to point out the fact that the comp base grew at once by 3.5 percentage points. So the second quarter is probably the toughest comp base for the year because the increase is very sudden. And on top of that, we'll have the World Cup in January, which impact is very difficult to predict, but certainly it's not helping our revenue. So there will be some kind of revenue loss because of the World Cup, because of more holidays and so on. So when you look at the second quarter, it will be a tougher scenario on the revenue side and as a consequence on the expense dilution side. But as I'll mention later, I think we have a very strong gross margin scenario ahead, and overall we still expect to deliver some type of margin expansion in the second quarter of this year. Talking about our product mix on page 7, it's remarkable how the front store has done well of recent. We have HPC gaining 100 basis points in our sales mix based on the strong seasonality, based on our execution, based on store renovations that are starting to have an impact here. OTC was also very strong, 0.4 on a comparable basis with the first quarter of last year. And even though this strong seasonality harms OTC sales, I think our execution has improved so much over the year that we were still able to increase penetration of OTC in the sales mix by 0.4 in a very adverse seasonality for OTC. And then pharma, as a total, grew below the rest of the mix. So there's a positive mix effect here. In terms of gross margins on page 8, we increased our gross margins in the quarter by 0.3 percentage points. Our gross margins reached 26.9%. And here we see the first result of opting out of our special tax regime and getting back to the normal tax substitution regime. As you know, we had to have a different tax status over the last several quarters in order to recover more than 100 million reais in outstanding tax credits against the state of São Paulo. This was very good on a cash basis, but of course it harmed our gross margins by 0.4 percentage points because the fact that several of our suppliers have aggressive tax planning ended up falling on our shoulders as we became our own taxpayers. Now, last December, we moved out of the special tax regime with the tax credits already fully recovered. And as our inventories are rotating, we're starting to see the benefits. So in this quarter, we estimate that 0.2 percentage point of the margin gain was due to the normalization of the tax situation. And we will see another 20 basis points improvement probably already in the second quarter of this year. So we're getting absolutely back on track in terms of our gross margins, just as we have been telling the market. When you compare the cash cycle, if you look only from an accounting perspective, it looks like we are 3 days heavier in cash cycle. However, we have to consider here that, first of all, in the first quarter of last year, and that was reported in our earnings statement, we discounted approximately 2.2 days, in account receivable. This is not an operational transaction. This is a financial operation. This is kind of off-balance sheet financing. So if we plug back here to the comp base, the accounts receivable that were discounted, we're talking 63.6 days now versus 62.8 days 1 year ago. This is the real calculation on the cash impact on the company. And based on this calculation, we increase 0.8 days of cash cycle. It's important also to consider that opting out of our special tax regime is very good on the margin side, but it adds another pressure in terms of working capital because we had to assess how much our inventories were before changing the tax regime and pay sales taxes on our inventory. So this is a 4.5 day increase that we had in the fourth quarter that we maintain now in the future. So these 4.5 days, it's economical because it costs us money, but when you think about the performance of our supply chain management, we have also to take this out of the calculation, and then we have a comparable cash cycle performance of 3.6 days. So 0.8 negative on an economic basis, but on a performance basis in terms of execution, is 3.6 favorable. On page 9, we had a minor sales expense pressure in the quarter. Of 0.1 percentage point of revenue. So our salaries went up by 0.1 percentage point. Rentals went up in the same amount. But the fact that we opened less stores mitigated that impact in 0.1 percentage point. So we have basically 0.1 of sales expense pressure, but this was absolutely mitigated by the general and administrative expense dilution that we can see on page 10. Our G&A went down by 0.3 percentage points, a very strong dilution to 2.8 percentage points. And again, you cannot compare the 2.8 with the previous quarters because we have way less revenues in the first quarter than we had in the fourth quarter because of the seasonality of the quarter that I previously mentioned. But it's at 2.8 in the first quarter, I think it's an impressive number. It's probably our strongest number ever. What's happening since the merger in the end of the fourth quarter 11 is that our number of stores went up by 27%, while our expenses, they stayed flat on inflation-adjusted terms, on real terms. So we are able, with the systems integration, to start seeing synergies here, to be able to grow with the same structure and do things more efficiently, more effectively. If you compare on an absolute basis, the first quarter, 13 with 14, expenses went up by 9.2%. Salaries alone went up by 8.5% in this period. So we are flat when you look longer term. On a quarter-by-quarter basis, you may have a slightly better or slightly different quarter, but we are maintaining our expenses almost flat. And this is very important, and this is helping us get back to margin expansion. As a result, in page 11, we see our EBITDA margin go up by 50 basis points to 5.1% of gross revenues. 0.3% of this impact was on the gross margin side, and 0.2% was operating expenses dilution. Another number that I like to share, and that it kind of highlights the impact of the new store openings on our profitability, is the fact that the 968 stores that we had operating since the fourth quarter of 2015, meaning not considering the negative impact of the stores open or in the process of opening in the beginning of this year, our EBITDA would be $94 million instead of $87 million. So we get the exactly same number of stores in the end of 2014, paying for our whole corporate G&A and logistics, and we have a $7 million higher EBITDA than our EBITDA when we consider these new stores. So $7 million was the cost of opening stores in this first quarter, stores that are already operating and generating negative profitability in the first month, or stores that we are paying pre-operation expenses to be open in a couple months. And the EBITDA margin of these comparable stores, considering their revenues, would be of 5.5%, so a 40 basis point impact of short-term growth. And I'm not talking about maturity, because if we stop growing today and we allow our stores to progress the maturation process, in 3 years, our EBITDA margin goes up by 1.5 percentage points. We're just talking short-term impact of the new store openings. On page 12, looking below the EBITDA line, we see depreciation flat, and we see a dilution in financial expenses of 0.2 percentage points. What happened is that our average net debt in this first quarter was 33 million below the one we had on the first quarter last year. And when we're talking about net debt in the first quarter last year, we are including in this calculation 34.5 million in discounted receivables that charge interest. And again, discounting receivables is not an operational move. It's a financial move. This is off-balance sheet financing. There's nothing wrong with that. It just has to be understood correctly. And finally, because our EBITDA increased by 50 basis points, taxes accrued went up by 0.1 percentage points. So when you put it all together on page 13, our adjusted net income went up by 0.6 percentage points. We reached 2.4% of adjusted net income in the quarter. So we improved 50 basis points our EBITDA, 20 basis points financial expenses, but then spent 10 basis points more in income taxes. On an absolute basis, our adjusted net income went up by 53.6%, and I think this is a very relevant number to take into consideration. For those who like to see the unadjusted net income, and that's not certainly my case, we're more than doubling our accounting net income. And the reason is simple, and it's in the next page. We are showing a drastic reduction in non-recurring expenses. In the first quarter, we booked only 1.4 million reais in non-recurring expenses. 0.7 million in consulting expenses related to the PMO of our integration. This is supposed to continue through this year. And then we had specific systems, miscellaneous system integration expenses related to the rollout of the unification of the corporate system that happened in the end of February. So what this shows in my view is that first, the adjustments that we made last year were really one-timers because we're looking at a much better profitability with a much lower level of adjustments, and that life is really getting back to normal as we become finally one company and we start talking every day less about integration and every day more about creating value for our shareholders and for our consumers. So we believe that through adjustments, they are absolutely paramount for us to explain the recurring results based on an economic view and not purely on an accounting view. So net income grows 53.6 and not 104% because of that, in our view. On page 15, we have in the first quarter in this year, just like we had last year, a negative free cash flow and a negative total cash flow as well. What happens is that from a cash viewpoint, the first quarter has and always will have unfavorable seasonality. What happens is that the first quarter is the leanest quarter in cash cycle in the year due to the fact that we have subsidized working capital based on the fact that we buy a lot of seasonal merchandise in September. We sell them a lot in December, and we only pay in February. So our days of accounts payable get up in the fourth quarter. So, and the first quarter is exactly when the bill arrives. So not only we have a quarter with lower revenues because of the calendar, but also we have a quarter in which we are paying the seasonal merchandising that we bought last year and that we sold part on the fourth quarter, part on this first quarter. So we always see in the first quarter a relevant cash outlay taking place, and that's absolutely normal. When you consider resources from operations, we improved 20 million reais, but this year, comparing to the first quarter of last year, we had a slightly higher drain in terms of working capital. What happens is that the first quarter of 13 was so lean and much leaner than the fourth quarter of 12. And we were very, very efficient in the first quarter 12, and we gave something back in this first quarter. So there is a slightly higher cash consumption in this first quarter than we had on the first quarter of last year. But that's, I think, kind of normal, and this will get back to normal as the year progresses. We had the same level of investment this year and last year, 52 million or around it, and then we generated a negative free cash flow of 119 and a negative total cash flow of 118 million reais. Before passing to Marcelo, I'd like just to show that, and certainly you know that as well, we're seeing a strong recovery of our share price. We ended the quarter with a share price of 19.6 reais. Now, we had a challenging year last year, but in our view, the share price deteriorated way further than it should have deteriorated. So now, as our numbers are getting back on track and the market is already expecting that from us, we saw a very strong recovery, a 33% year-to-date increase versus an Ibovespa decline of 2.1% in the same period. I'll now pass to Marcelo for him to sum up what we have seen in the quarter and to talk about a very important milestone for the company.
Okay, before I go to slide 17, I'd like to share with you some very good main drivers for the excellent results that we have, okay? Sales. We really had a great summer with record temperatures in January and February, and they could very well in our summer programs to leverage the seasonality, generating a total sales growth of 90.5 with 7.6 per metric store. It's a very, very good number, and we really believe that full integration to our corporate systems that was concluded in February 28 is starting to make a difference in execution. If you look for the gross margin, we increased gross margin by 38 points. Of that, 20 base points was due to the change in tax regime that we had in December. That represents half of the gross margin loss of 40 base points. The other 20 base points will be recovered the second quarter after full rotation, as Wesley told us in December for everybody else. In expenses, we have a very, very good number. By growing our mature store ahead of inflation, was achieving 20 base points reduction in operating expenses. This is another sign of the improvements that our system integration will bring to our business. We are very confident in getting some more productivity gains, especially in the second semester. Let's go to the slide 17 right now. Look at the expansion plan. We are celebrating next week the milestone of 1,000 stores. We are very proud about this number, and we are the only drugstore chain and one of the very few Brazilian retailers operate 1,000 property stores, not including franchise. Since the merger, in the end of 2011, we had to open total 264 stores and close 10 stores as part of a store optimization program, so as to reach this mark of 1,000 stores. We will celebrate this achievement with two landmarks opening this next week. Our first airport store in the Guarulhos Airport, in the São Paulo International Airport, which is a Droga Raia brand store, that we believe that privatization and modernization of the airports in Brazil may provide us with several other opportunities like this. And the second landmark for us will be the entrance in Pernambuco market, which is a Drogasil brand. We are accelerating our expansion in the Northeast area. We are currently opening only in Bahia, and already had several contact signings, not only in the state of Pernambuco, but also in Sergipe and Alagoas, with many more openings in Recife, Aracaju, and Maceió expected for the next month. Including Bahia, which is already a very successful match for us, we expect to open around 25 stores in the Northeast region only in this year. We're open now for questions, and thank you very much.
Thank you. At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press the pound key. Mr. Luciano Campos from HSBC would like to make a question.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. We continue to see here, the average basket purchased by each consumer every time they go to your stores continue to be quite strong, and partially because of the investment in the change of the the configuration of the stores and other products and et cetera. But we also continue to see this number ahead of your mature store, same-store sales evolution. So that's an indication of the traffic, I mean, how often people are going to the stores. Can you help us understand a little bit what's going on with the consumer? Are they purchasing less often? Are they purchasing in other channels, in other competitors? Can you talk about that specific trend of consumer behavior? Thank you.
Luciano, thank you for the question. The first point here is that we are far from we are in no way the best compass to understand what's happening to the consumer. This is a very defensive industry. We are selling pharmaceuticals and basic toiletry products for A and B consumers in Brazil. So not only the products we sell are defensive, but we are far from the frontier of market expansion or contraction. The numbers that you mentioned, they have to do with a very, very long-term trend. I mean, if you look at some of the great stores we have today, 20 years ago, they didn't sell on a real basis, not nearly what they sell today, but they had a much higher traffic than they have today. What happened is that in a market in which we keep opening stores, there's sometimes some level of cannibalization. You have other competitors opening stores. The first consumer who leaves our store, either for another higher drugstore store that has opened somewhere, or even for a competitive store, is the consumer who was far from that store, and obviously not well, that well serviced by the store. So with these dynamics, we have consumers who are marginal consumers leaving sometimes. This reduces the traffic, but then the fact that the top consumers stay increases the average ticket of the store. This is a very, very long-term trend. Frankly speaking, we pay internally very little attention to volume versus traffic. It has never helped us explain anything given this consideration. So you cannot draw any conclusions here in terms of economic activity or in terms of competitivity, nothing like that.
Thank you, Eugenio.
No, thank you.
As a reminder, as to ask a question, please press star 1. As a reminder, as to ask a question, please press star 1. It appears to be no further questions. Now I'll turn the conference back to Mr. Eugenio Gisagotis to his final remarks.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you, everybody, for attending this conference call. I think the numbers we present in the quarter, they are a very concrete step in the right direction, but it's just a step. I mean, we have to keep the momentum going forward, and we have we want to have a sustained margin expansion cycle. We have a constructive view about the whole year, and even the second quarter, that should be the toughest quarter in the year, we still think we'll be able to increase our margin. What happens is that when you look at our gross margins, first of all, we are getting the full tax recovery next quarter, so this will help. The second thing in terms of gross margin is that, as you may recall, we had a change in tax regime taking place. We had a change in purchasing strategy taking place in the second quarter last year, in which we stopped buying products with a lot of trade allowances and included those trade allowances on the invoices. And this had a temporary margin sacrifice that represented 0.4 percentage points in the gross margin of last year. So we are getting a very strong gross margin improvement on the second quarter. However, we also see an expense pressure, and a strong one, in the second quarter. Why that? Because in the first quarter of last year, we were entering exactly the very short window that we had of reduction in social charges. And in the end, even though the reduction really started on the second quarter, so our second quarter, we had for 2 months a 0.5 percentage point social charge reduction. When you make the average of the quarter, we're talking about 0.3 percentage point in easier expenses last year than we had this year only because of that. And another thing is that as we are comping in the second quarter against the toughest quarter last year, the comp base goes up very sudden. And we don't think the comp base, the monthly growth of our revenue will be able to follow that pace, especially if you consider the impact of the World Cup in June. It's very difficult to assess what kind of impact the World Cup can have in terms of volumes. It's certainly not healthy, but it doesn't mean it has to be a disaster, but we'll see. So with higher gross margin, but a pressured expense basis, we are still confident we should increase a bit of margin in the second quarter. And then as we go to the second semester of the year, we expect a more balanced picture between gross margin expansion and between sales dilution. So thank you very much for attending the call, and especially thank you very much for our shareholders, for our continued support, and for keeping with us in the tough days and now in the good days as well. Thanks.
Thank you. Drogazil conference call is finished. Have a nice day.